Let me just start off by saying, if you expected either Richard or Jolene, and you have no idea why I am here, they are currently in the UK. They are going to a couple of retreat centers in the UK, where they're going to experience some retreating themselves, and also to kind of just experience what other healing centers are up to, and just, you know, ask the Lord, what is the vision that he's got? And what is the things that work and what don't work? And what is it that they want to bring that we can implement next door? So that is why I am here today. But nevertheless, you know, we trust that the Holy Spirit will talk through me as well. Let's just start off by praying. Lord, we just want to say thank you for today. Lord, for everybody that sits here that thinks, yo, that sleeping thing, that applies to me. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that they would have a wonderful night's rest. Whatever is keeping them up, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that that would leave them. There would be nothing that is not of you that's keeping them awake. And Lord, if it is the Holy Spirit that's, you know, poking them awake so that they can have intimacy with you in that time, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that they would recognize your voice and that they would say, you know, talk, Lord, I'm listening. And that they would have some amazing moments with you then as well. Lord, I pray that as I speak, that only the words that's of you would come through, and that the seeds that I sow, that it may fall on fertile soil. Amen. The power button is at the bottom, so if you put it down like that, then apparently it switches off the whole thing. It's a new thing that I won, so there we go. Sorry about this. There we go. I would like to just start off by reading a verse. It's a verse in Matthew. It's a very, very well-known verse. Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. So basically what it says is, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Amen. Now, I don't know what the emotion is that you're feeling when you hear that voice, when you read that in Scripture, and you go, well, there's a command. Some of you might be sitting here and going, yeah, that's not for me. Some of you might be going, I know it's for me, but, you know, fear and trembling, or like, oh my goodness, how am I going to do this? Some of you might be like me that read this and jump out with excitement and you know, I'm really, really, like, this is basically one of those verses that really just direct my life. Like Venora said, you know, we have our own, you know, we designed and created uniquely. The path that the Lord has chosen for us is unique. Some people, you know, are a different part of the body. The part of the body where I, you know, function is definitely in this area over here. So this seriously excites me. But whether or not you're with me on the same page of jumping up with excitement or not, the instruction was given to all of God's followers, all of Jesus' followers, to share your faith, to make disciples. Was not an instruction only given to a few or to a select, but it was given to all of his followers. So whether or not you're sitting here fearing and trembling, this is something that excites me, and definitely I've got a calling for this, but it is something that is applicable to every single person. I know that's a follower of Jesus. And it might be one of those things where you go like, oh, but how do I actually do this? Like, how do you approach it? Now, when I was a kid, I grew up in a Christian home. I read this verse and I went to a whole bunch of church stuff and this stirred in my heart. So we would have on our dining room table, we would have a world map and then that plastic covering that goes over it as a tablecloth. So, you know, our dining room conversations was, what's happening in this country? What's happening in this country? And we would then, after, you know, our meal, then my dad would say, okay, guys, pick a country. Let's pray for a country. And then we would find the most obscure country in the world that we could possibly find. We would have competitions of, you know, who can find Uzbekistan first. I just use Uzbekistan because it's one that I can remember, but there were so many weird, obscure countries that I didn't know until we, you know, started doing this. And we would just pray for the nations. And this is something, you know, that I grew up with. And yeah, my notes are still actually not up yet. There we go. Okay. So, but basically, in my attempt of making disciples, the first thing that I realized is I need to know the scriptures quite well. So, you know, as a kid, I would learn the scriptures and I would, you know, make sure I know all the verses. I would check out sermons and, you know, so that whenever somebody was to ask me a question about my faith, or is this sin or is this not sin, or can we do this, and, you know, I would be able to, you know, give a good response. And when there's an unbeliever, I would be able to, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and I would remember all of these scriptures, which, you know, for one, you know, helped me to grow my faith quite a lot. Definitely big positive. But on the ministry side, it wasn't really that effective, because what I came to learn, and this is very, very obvious actually, is that non-believers don't believe the Bible. So quoting scriptures to them is really not the most effective way of trying to minister to them. So what happened was, a little bit later in life, I kind of come to realize that I need to find a different approach. And somebody then, you know, kind of gave me this tool, this approach that just changed the way that I do ministry completely, especially to unbelievers. When we disciple people that's already Christian, that believe the scriptures, by all means. If somebody is, you know, asking you about the scriptures, by all means, that is worth it. Go for it. But when we're dealing with somebody that might, you know, say, I don't believe in the Bible, then, you know, how do we actually approach it? Because this is like the majority of people that we want to evangelize to. So the tool that he gave me is basically this. He said, share your own story. So there's this verse that we can have up again, where Jesus healed a blind man. And Jesus didn't preach to him or, you know, spoke to him about exactly who he is and what happened. He just healed the guy because he had compassion for him. So then the Pharisees came across and, you know, was like, okay, but in whose authority are you healing people? And they were really, really upset. And the Pharisees, I mean, they know their scriptures quite well. Unfortunately, not the Holy Spirit, though. So, you know, they called this blind man so that he could testify, with the hopes that he would testify against Jesus. And they're kind of trying to set up this guy to give an answer that suits them. They're not really seeking the truth. They're seeking an answer that would suit them. Because what they start off by saying is, hey, by the way, we're calling this guy in again. So he already gave an answer that they weren't satisfied with. And then they call this guy in again. So they call the man who was blind again, and said to him, give God the glory. Now, in that phrase, it means you better tell the truth, because lying is not, you know, giving God the glory. So, you know die waarheid praat. So, we know that this man is a sinner. So they set it up from the start. So they say, hey, listen, we're the top guys in terms of scripture. We know that Jesus is a sinner. And now he has to give his testimony, you know, on that statement. So they're not seeking truth. They're just, you know, seeking their own answer. And then the next verse, the guy's response is, he answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. This guy's not, you know, he doesn't know scripture. He doesn't, you know, he's not a follower of Jesus. He just had a quick encounter with God, actually, that drastically changed his life. And he said, one thing I know, though, is that I was blind, but now I see. This guy didn't know any scriptures. He didn't even know who Jesus properly was. But he was able to give his own account, his story, his encounter with God, and how that changed him. Because the Pharisees didn't have anything to respond on this. Because they were looking for, hey, we know he is a sinner. And this guy basically says, hey, listen, you make up your mind about that part. But all I know is that there's a miracle that happened. Don't miss it. There's something undeniable that happened. And it doesn't matter how well known that Pharisee is in their scripture and their doctrine. So whether it be, you know, a person of a different faith that knows their story really well, or whatever the case might be, you know, that's applicable to us. These guys know their stuff really well. And now we've got a blind man who is probably then not the most educated man. And he was able just to give a really quick answer to say, hey, listen, this is who God is. I was blind, now I can see. It's his story. Nobody can say, ah, no, you're wrong. Because he can see. Like, nobody can disprove that. Nobody can say, oh, no, you didn't feel that. You know, how can they possibly do that? So, the concept of this testimony is basically this, is when we share our faith with somebody, when you're at work, when you're with your family, when you're with friends, when you're, you know, walking in the street, when you're sitting on the bus, or like Richard said, if you're on a plane somewhere, I would really hope that he met somebody on a plane and saw something on somebody's forehead, for those of you that were here last week. But point being is, wherever you are, if you want to share something and you're unsure of how to actually convey a message that would glorify God, this is just one of the tools that you could use. This is a very simple tool where you say, okay, well, this is what my life was before Christ. This is what happened when I met Christ. And now this is what happened after I've met Christ. And give that comparison. Because nobody would be able to argue against it. It doesn't matter how well you know your scriptures. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. This guy hardly was a Christian. He just received healing. You know, he just met the Lord, and he's able to already testify, which changed the hearts of the Pharisees, who's been at it for years, and they're well, you know, read up and everything. So the comparison of that is something undeniable that's true to you. Your experience with God is a powerful, powerful testimony. You see, then we get these guys, and this is just a heads up. We get these guys who focus so much on how their life was before Christ. They speak for 2 hours on, I did this bad and this bad and this bad and this bad and this bad, and then they go, and then I met Jesus and now everything's great. Guys, we gotta go. Okay, whenever you do this, please remember, the glory is to God. That's the focus. That's the emphasis. So whenever we say, okay, listen, it wasn't going that great, we don't need to go into every single detail, you know, but where we put the detail and the emphasis on, it's just like, okay, this is how God interacted. This is how he changed my life. This is what happened. Put the emphasis on God and not on ourselves in that matter. So then with this, you've got to also realize that you've got to have a short version and a long version. Now, I'm a person, I love speaking. I became a teacher, where I get to speak quite a lot. Whenever we got in the car after a day at school, my mom would always kind of have to stop me and just say, hey, guys, just remember, Derki, there's 2 other people in the car as well that was at school, and they probably want to also, you know, talk about their day, because I would literally, from the moment I get into the car, even before I get into the car, start talking until we get back. And then for 20 minutes after that as well. So we have this phrase in my home where it's like, hey, Derki, short version, please. Because I could just ramble on and ramble on, and like, you know, every single detail, and then, you know the whole movie, but the question was actually, like, what did I have for lunch? So in certain cases, like when you're in a plane, a bus, a taxi, when you're, you know, waiting for the meeting to start, wherever it is, you got to have 2 versions of your story. Now, it's not just necessarily one story, but like God encounter story. A 3-minute version that's just the summary of, hey, listen, this is what happened. This is God. This is after God. In a quick moment where you can just say, before you get to the top floor of the building, before you can, you know, get to the next bus stop, before you can, you know, whatever the situation is, to give glory to God within 3 minutes and just show to somebody that, hey, listen, you know, Christianity is not just this thing. I had one guy said to me once, you know, Christianity, yeah, it's weird. You have to do all of this stuff and not do all the bad stuff, just hoping that when you die that you were right. And I thought, wow, he missed the point. He missed the point so badly, because he didn't realize that, you know, God is for us here and now. And our lives are being affected now. It's not just for one day. And there's a lot of people that think that. And in our testimonies, we can share, hey, listen, God is here now. Miracles still happen. Life changes through God still happens. It's so powerful. And it, you know, it could be your salvation story. It could be a miracle story. It could be, you know, God that just came through for you in a financial area. It could be whatever the case it might be. Like Venora said, everybody's got their different path. But, you know, if you're sitting here and you're a follower of Christ, that means you've got a story. A powerful story that even the Pharisees won't be able to, you know, argue against. So, and then you get the opportunities where your pastor goes to the UK for a weekend, and then he hands you the mic and he says, you know, you've got a longer time than 3 minutes. And then you can tell your long version. You may be sitting in a car driving to, you know, Gauteng with, you know, a friend or family member. You might be, you know, whatever the reason is, there might be that time when you sit with a coffee with somebody and you just have hours to spend, you know, and they're open and hungry and, you know, questioning, you know, is God real? Does he still do miracles, you know? And then you can share your long version with them. So today, what I would like to do is I'd just like to share my long version with you. Because it's a powerful testimony, and it's something that I've experienced. And I'm a very, very normal human being. I'm weird, yes. I talk a lot. I have a lot of energy, and I, you know, like doing weird things. But in terms of, you know, spirituality, I'm normal, like Mary. We're human beings. It's nothing from what I'm about to say is without the reach of anybody here. I'm just obedient. And we are all called, you know, to go and preach the gospel, you know, in some way or another. We're all called, you know, into obedience. And whatever God has planned for you, please don't look at me and go, oh, wow, Terki. No, oh, wow, Holy Spirit. So like I said, I grew up in a Christian home, and I wanted to, you know, go preach the gospel all over the world. And, one of my big motivations for that was because, I was terrified of hell. Hell was a thing that I wanted to avoid by all costs. And my compassion for people, drove me to say, well, I need to tell them about Jesus because they're going to end up in hell. So everything that I did, the you know, studying of scriptures, the, you know, go talk to my friends about Jesus, you know, don't do this, don't do that, don't swear, don't do this, you know. It was all of kind of fear-based because I wanted to avoid hell at all costs because that place sounds scary, you know. The problem with this is it wasn't sustainable because it's fear-based. It's not relational-based. It's not love-based. You know, I would, you know, sit there and I would kind of, yeah, I actually want to do this, but I don't, you know, no, it's fine. And then you get that, oh, but I can ask forgiveness, you know. I can still make it to heaven, you know. And you constantly sit with that kind of thought in those battles because it's, you know, it's something that you deal with if you're living a fear-based, you know, faith because, you know, it's not sustainable. But I had that, and that's kind of, you know, that I lived with, you know, through my teenage years, and, you know, I went through some dips and stuff, but there wasn't really a sustainable, like, I've got a passion and a drive for the Lord, because it was all fear-based. And then, you know, I was really involved in church. I was involved in two churches, actually. I would go, like, you know, youth at one church on, in the weeks, and I'd be a leader there, and then I'd go to my church in the morning and in the evenings. So I was at a lot of church events. And then this one particular church event was a all-night, a 50-hour all-night, you know, youth event where we, you know, played games, worship and praise and, you know, all kinds of stuff. But during one of the worship sessions, we took all the couches outside, a, you know, band was playing, and it was one of those moments. There wasn't an altar call. There wasn't, you know, anything other than any of the other, you know, church activities that I went to. And I just sat there and I was like, I know all this theory about the Lord and His goodness and relationship and everything. And I thought to myself, what am I doing? Like, I'm not getting it. Because I was also in one of my down moments where I wasn't feeling it, you know. teenagers. And then I said, what am I doing? Like, I'm not living my life fully committed to Christ. I'm just kind of trying to tick the boxes to make it to heaven. And I know that's not the way to do it, but I'm doing it anyways. And you know, the Holy Spirit just came over me, and it was tears, and I didn't have tissues. I can't say tissues, which makes it really a mental image not to think about. But I just wept. And I said to the Lord, I'm sorry. You know, I knew everything. I knew about relationship. I knew about this and that. And I kind of, you know, even though I was so involved in the things of the Lord, I was almost missing the Lord of the things. And then I just rededicated my heart to the Lord and said, hey, listen, you know, this is where things are going to change. Which was a really, you know, a magical moment for me. One of my best friends, who's now a pastor, you know, he was at that event as well. And I just called him aside and said, hey, dude, let's just pray together. I want to just let you know. But subsequently what happened from there was, you know, the Lord took me on, you know, some amazing adventures. I'm an active guy. I like the outdoors. I like, you know, traveling and things like that. And, you know, whenever missionaries talk and they go like, and Lord sent me to this country, you know, I would be the person that gets excited. I know people go like, oh, please don't send me to India. I was just like, send me to India. And it happened. The Lord, you know, sent me to various different countries where I literally felt the Lord saying, hey, listen, I want you to go and do this. Please go to Sudan. I was 15. Please go to Sudan. Go on that outreach. And, you know, he provided the funds. I was able to go to Sudan. I skipped 2 weeks of school, but, you know, that's fine. It's all for the Lord. I'm a teacher. I shouldn't say this stuff. You know, and then after that, after school, the Lord said, I would like you to do a one-year service, like, you know, kind of like a gap year, but go on a missions trip. So I went for an entire year on a missions trip, you know, went to different countries where I got to experience the Lord in a more powerful way than I would normally do. I wasn't in a church where healings happened, you know, frequently on a Sunday. So this was very new to me as well. But some of the stuff that I experienced is exactly that what I spoke to you about, you know, God is for the here and now, not only for the afterlife. So some of the testimonies that, you know, just throughout my years of, you know, just walking with the Lord and trying to be, you know, as close to Him as I can, is we were in Australia, and this one bus was a really old bus. We were volunteering at a campsite Odense's bus, which they used to transport the kids to the mountain where the Ab sail and to the, you know, bow and arrow range and stuff like that. But it was a really old bus, and so we would do a daily devotion with the kids every morning. Now, the campsite was basically set up that it was, I think, a third of the price of all the other campsites, but it is well known that it is a Bible camp. It's a Christian camp. We are going to preach the gospel. But because it's so cheap, even the non-believers send their kids to this camp, which is amazing. It's funded by a doctor, you know, who basically puts his whole salary into this campsite, and then he pulls a small salary from the camp. So it's like amazing people. I love what they do. And then, so we do this daily devotional, and I do this devotional. I said, you know, I think it's John 14:14 or something that says, you know, ask anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. And I'm sitting in this bus and, you know, and this bus just won't start. And, you know, I'm talking with the kids and the bus won't start, and they're fiddling with the battery and, you know, so on. And, you know, after like about 10 minutes of trying to figure this out, I said, wait a minute. But we just said, you know, ask anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. You kids, do you remember that? Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, let's just pray for the bus. So I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, bus, start. Driver, try again. There goes the engine. Boom, bus starts. So we drive all the way to the abseiling. And we're like, well, that was pretty cool, but, you know, coincidences could happen. You know, it would have started eventually, maybe. We don't know, but, you know, what the heck. So, abseil, got back on the bus. No, it doesn't work. And somebody goes out to the battery again, and I thought to myself, yeah, we're probably going to have to pray again. So it's like, hey, wait a minute, guys, we haven't prayed. In the name of Jesus Christ, bus, start. Immediately, we start again. Drive back to camp. And now these kids go, wait a minute. This wasn't coincidence. What are you talking about? So in the bus trip, all the way from the abseiling back to camp, you know, his kids, and they were from all, you know, faiths and, you know, areas of belief. They're like, wait, are you telling me that the stories you've been telling us in the morning is true? I was like, yeah. Like, that's the life we live. This is what we experience. So the next day, I wasn't on abseiling duty. Somebody else was. But of course, kids talk. So when they tried to go to the abseiling again, the bus didn't start. And the kids said, no, guys, what are you doing? You've got to pray for the bus. And apparently one of the kids prayed, and then the bus started. And then the kids named the bus the Jesus bus. They renamed it, because if you don't pray, it doesn't start. Which was amazing. So a whole bunch of, you know, kids from all across, you know, faith realized that, oh my goodness, the Lord is real, and, you know, miracles do still happen. And a whole lot of them gave their hearts to the Lord. The good news is, because they're great people, there's also communication with the parents and support afterwards. We didn't just leave them like that, for those of you thinking about that. The other thing is a story that is a testimony that I haven't really spoken about a lot. It's one that I often, I think, underestimate, and it happened in Palestine. So I was just walking by myself in Palestine on my way to the place where we lived. And a group of kids, probably about, you know, between the ages of 8 and 12, you know, playing around. And, you know, the next moment, I was just being joyful and happy with them. And the next moment, I see one of them have my camera, which was in my jean pocket. He somehow pickpocketed me, and he's got my camera, and he goes, ha ha, about to run. And I look at him, and I go like, what? And I actually acknowledged, I don't know how this happened, but I actually acknowledged the skill of, you know, pickpocketing me. I was like, dude, well done. Like, how did you do that? I didn't feel angry at him at all. I was actually, you know, astounded by his ability to orchestrate this thing and get my camera. I just had love for these kids. And they gave me my camera back, and we continued playing games, and I started children ministry in the middle of Palestine while, you know, we played a game of ninja where we tried to hit each other's hands. But I'm thinking back about that story. Oh, by the way, while we played ninja, they pickpocketed my camera twice, even though I tied the band around my lace, like around my belt. They still managed to get it off. But I got my camera back every time. They just thought it was hilarious that I was that easy of a victim. But point being is this, like, that story could have gone a completely different way. It's due to the love of the Holy Spirit and just walking in the Spirit that story didn't end up, I saw the camera, I got furious, I chased after them, you know, I tackled a small kid, and he experienced, you know, another hatred and, you know, anger, you know, and rejection, or, you know, he gets away. I think I was faster than him, but, you know, who knows. They know the streets quite well, so I would have probably lost my camera. But I got my camera back, all the photos back, and those kids experienced a guy who they just stole from love them back. And that to me is a testimony of just, like, this is what the Lord does in our heart when we follow Him, is that even in a situation where the normal reaction would be completely, you know, He just changed my heart, because that wouldn't have been normal if it wasn't for Him. Which then, of course, relates to, you know, Jesus here now. So the other stuff, you know, coming back from that missions trip, you know, I went to study at university. I would literally, in my free lessons, I would just walk on campus and go like, okay, cool, who can we pray for today? Because during this year, we would pray for people that, you know, having intestine problems, that's busy dying, and, you know, then we prayed for them, and literally instantly they got healed and walked out with no pain. Kidney stones, people that was deaf that was able to hear again, you know, back problems. There were so many healings that happened. I mean, if you think about it, like the rush of somebody like experiencing a miracle, like you just can't compare it. It's such a magical moment to experience God's work. So I would walk, you know, on campus, and I would, like, literally go and say, okay, cool. Like, where's the injured people? I literally walk and find people with, you know, some sort of a brace or some sort of a, you know, a pain. I would pray for them, and this one particular one was pretty cool. It was actually somebody that I knew from school. He cut off his thumb with a bench grinder. and it was kind of just hanging a little bit by a piece of skin. So they stitched it back, and I saw him, I think about 2 weeks after this happened, or 3 weeks or something. So, you know, it's still not really great, you know, in a cast support system. And I said, dude, what happened? He told me the story. I was like, at that point, I didn't really know where he stood with faith. I said, dude, I know this is weird, but, you know, I'm a Christian. I believe God can heal. Because he said he won't have feeling in his thumb again, but he would be able to have some movement after, you know, a while. I said, dude, can I pray for you? He said, yeah, no, cool, please do. So I prayed for him, and as I prayed for him, I kind of just slightly just flick his thumb. And he's like, dude, I totally felt that. I was like, that's awesome. So I prayed for him again. He went for a doctor's scan the next week, and he told me that, you know, the healing that happened within that week was more healing than the doctor expected over more than a year, and he had feeling. I haven't seen the guy since that conversation, but I mean, it's an amazing testimony of just, you know, me walking on campus going, oh, there's somebody with a cast, let's go hear out, and, you know, felt compassion and prayed for the guy. And like I said at the beginning, this stuff is not for the elect. It's not for only some people. Some people operate in it, you know, frequently. But it is the power of the Holy Spirit. The same power that is within you. When you see somebody that's sick, ill, blind, deaf, you know, going through some crazy stuff, remember that the power that is within you is the same power that rose Christ from the dead. Never mind, you know, fixing somebody's thumb. Just let that sink in. Now, I also like superhero movies, so the quote that comes to mind is, with great power comes great responsibility, you know. You've got great power, and you're called to go and use it. So, whenever you go, know that it's not from your own power. Just go and love people. And if you've moved with compassion for somebody that you can pray for, do it immediately. The one thing that I used to do as a Christian a lot was, oh man, I've moved with compassion. Dude, I will pray for you. Goodbye. And then I go home and I pray. Or then I forget. Why? Or why wait until the end of your, like, we're having coffee. I will pray for you at the end. Like, it doesn't have to happen at the end. We often forget. We miss moments because we try and, yeah, but I don't want to pray in front of him because maybe, you know, we got to step out of that. Because then we can be way more effective and, you know, experience the rush of God. Some of the other cool stuff that I also don't speak about a lot, but it was really just cool, and I'm adding this into this, just because I want you to just hear about stuff that, you know, God is doing. So we were in Indonesia, and, you know, the pre-prayer starts about an hour before the service starts. And we were about 40 people there in a circle. And, you know, the culture there is that, you know, a lot of them just pray out loud in tongues all at the same time. So it's kind of like a corporate worship, but everybody in their own song. So it's not one person preaching, you know, in tongues and everybody just listens, but there's, you know, no translation. It's basically just guys free flow worship. And then a whole bunch of people are just, you know, praying in their tongues in worship. And so that was a really cool moment. And then when I was walking on campus this one day, you know, just between classes, you know, free lesson, I heard a sound. And I was just like, I know that sound. I literally, like, I walked on campus, and from within a building, within a lecture hall, there was a group of Christians praying before the exam started. But when I was walking there, I was just like, I know this prayer. I've heard this prayer before. The exact same sounds, the exact same rhythm, the exact same, I have no idea what was said. But it was as if, you know a song and then you walk in the shops and somebody plays it on radio and you go like, oh, I've heard this song before. Like, I know I heard that prayer before. So I walked into the building and I saw, okay, here's a bunch of Christians praying for the exam venue. I knew they were Christians because I've heard the prayer at church. So I just walked in and I started praying with them. They had no idea who I was or how I came to be. I just, when they opened their eyes, there was this random dude. Apparently it was a small group of girls. So all of a sudden there was this dude next to them. And they go like, what the heck? Who are you? What are you doing here? I was just like, I heard a prayer that I recognized. So I kind of wanted to join in the spiritual moment. It sounded cool. But, you know, just, you know, God's Holy Spirit is international. You know, wherever you go, it's there. When we pray from this moment, you know, to somebody else, I mean, we were sitting in an orphanage in Indonesia, and my group leader did deliverance to somebody in, I think, Joburg, over, you know, a video call. You know, and how awesome is that? Like, don't feel limited geographically, you know, with your prayers. Don't feel limited at all. You know, God stretches way beyond, you know, what we can reach. So please, like, feel free. If don't feel limited. Like, do a video call, pray for a person. I've once actually, somebody was experiencing some, you know, demonic attack stuff. One of my friends when I was still at school, and she's like, "Dude, there's some creepy stuff happening," and I was still back on Mixit. That's like pre WhatsApp. And I literally did a deliverance session over Mixit, which is only a typing method. You can't, you know, and I just typed my prayers and sent it to the phone, and all of a sudden, you know, the whole thing calmed down. So don't be limited in terms of methods of communication. Just go for it. You know, God's calling us to do this. There's a couple more stories. I'll try and short version these. It's just been a joy. It's been such a joy to live with the Lord. Like, really, to experience how God comes through is amazing. And if you're sitting here and you're like, oh, wow, you know, he's got so many stories, I wish I had some. Yeah, that's the right attitude. Wish you had some. Find the Lord, you know, seek for him. Ask, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Who can I pray for today, you know? When you go out on your evening stroll through, you know, Franschhoek, on your way to Turbidor to go get that coffee. I don't know what time Turbidor really closes, but when you walk in town, you know, just keep your eyes open, you know. Where's the injured people? Where's the people that might need you? You know, sit on a plane and go, you know, Lord, you know, show me, do I need to speak to this person? Be open for it. Seek it. Because that rush is amazing when you're like with the Lord and something happens and it's, God is there to be enjoyed. That is why we're here, is to worship him. And we do missions because worship doesn't always. So last story before I end off. So during that whole missions trip, I basically said to the Lord, Lord, if I pick up a small coin, you know, just like a message to me to say, you are here and you're in control. Now, there was times that I picked up money where I didn't feel that, but there was moments where I picked it up and I knew, okay, this is seriously of the Lord. So we were at this missions conference at university, and this one friend of mine, he was busy planning a trip to Zambia as a missions trip. And on our way to kind of starting the event, I saw this one rand coin, and I pick it up, and I just felt the Lord say, this is for him. So I go, hey, Joshua, this is for you. And he takes it, and he goes, why? I said, I don't know. The Lord just said I must give it to you. It's like, okay, puts it in his pocket, and we go sit. And for the next 2 hours where this mission conference thing was going on, and there's people, you know, speaking out of different countries and what the Lord is doing there, his phone would just nonstop get notifications of money coming in for his missions trip. And his whole missions trip was paid off within that time frame. And every time he would just look at his phone and we go, dude, what did you do? It was just like, I don't know. Lord just said, give this to you. And, you know, it's so cool when the Lord just, you know, comes through. Some of the other fun stuff that I'm not getting to at the moment is, one of the fun stuff we would do is on Friday nights, we would go to the Steve Biko Hospital, which is a state hospital, and we would just, you know, go and visit people. Sometimes we would visit them, you know, spend time with them, pray for them, you know, no miracles in the sense of healing. Other times, people would turn around just before they died and get, you know, get the green light and said goodbye by the doctors, and then they walk out of there the next day. The fact of the matter is, a lot of those guys didn't actually have visitors in hospital. They would lay there for weeks with their family being in a different country or a different province, no visitors whatsoever. So the fact that we went to visit them in itself was already like a magical moment for them. And we saw a lot of people came to the Lord and just experiencing God's love in that way. So I want to encourage you, there's multiple ways in which, you know, whether it's at work, whether it's Friday night hospital ministry, wherever you go, seek the Lord and trust Him for miracles. Because then when you sit in that, you know, chair next to a guy and you've got 3 minutes, you know, you've got this, you know, passionate story that you can share. Or maybe, you know, you get an opportunity like me where you can share the long version. And if I think about my life before I, you know, fully surrendered to Christ, not just as my Savior, but as my Lord, and seeking that relationship, I was a Christian, I was involved with church, but I mean, hell, I wasn't really enjoying it that much. I was just like, I'm not going to hell, I know that. Like, that was my attitude. Whereas now, I'm like, wow, this is the Lord, this is where we need to be. And I truly desire that everybody has that feeling. So, if I can just cue the band on this one. If you're sitting here and you're thinking to yourself, yo, you know what? I think I have a fear-based Christianity. I'm just trying to avoid hell. I'm just trying to tick boxes to try and avoid hell. I'd really just love to pray for you. So I'd just like to, you know, take a moment. You know, just focus on the Lord. Just maybe ask Him, you know, where you're currently at. If you're sitting here and you've been hurt by the church, this is just something I picked up as I was prepping. I felt like there might be somebody here that's been hurt by the church before, and you're kind of, I don't know if you're here for the first time back in a while, or you've been at church because you want to avoid hell or whatever your reason is. But if you've been hurt by the church and you're kind of holding on to this, I've been there myself, part of the very long story. It's not a great place to be. And you're missing out on blessings that the Lord has intended for you. If you're looking into the sins of people and you're missing who He is. I also want to just pray for you. Please don't let people keep you from your connection with the Lord. And if you are a Christian, maybe you sit here and you go, well, it's not just to avoid hell, you know. Christianity is the easy faith. You can always just ask forgiveness. And, you know, people are very kind and helpful, so it's, you know, good to hang around here. It's not sustainable. It's not, you're not experiencing the full blessing of what God has intended for us. There's a Bible verse that says, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, you know, did we not do this and this and this in your name? Which relates to a lot of the stories that I just actually told you. And the Lord's response is, you know, get away from me, I do not know you. Please don't be one of those people. Don't be one of those people who miss the relationship with the Lord, because that's what it's about. We are created to be in a relationship with the Father. Maybe you've never experienced the Lord. Maybe you sit here and you go, well, I know it's the right thing. I know this is, you know, I know this is God, this is good, you know, and everybody's been telling the stories and you've got a burning desire to feel it for yourself. Maybe you sit here for, you've been invited and you're not a Christian at all and you just thought, I'll come check this out. If you're in any one of those spaces, I'd really love to pray for you at this moment. And while we have eyes closed, if any of those apply to you, I'd just like to ask you, just give me a wave, raise your hand, that I know that who I'm praying for. Thanks. Lord Jesus, you're God Almighty. Lord, you are absolutely amazing. Lord, my desire is that everybody not only in this church, but in this town, in this, you know, province, in this country, in this world, we'd experience the love that you have. Lord, and I pray that as we sit here as a congregation, which I'm so proud to be part of, we've got so many people that's, you know, ministering and in the gifts, so many people that's passionate for you. Lord, I pray that we can go out and share that passion, and that we can ignite the passion in others, that we can share our stories and our testimonies, so that more may come to know you. Not to avoid hell. No. Comes included. Not the primary purpose. Lord, but that they would experience you not only in the afterlife, but in their life here on earth. That they would know the joys of their salvation. Lord, I pray for those that lifted their hands, whether they're you know, just trying to avoid hell, or that they've been hurt by the church. Lord, whether they kind of just here because they feel like, ah, oh, it's easy faith and a good community. Lord, I pray wherever they are, I pray that you would fill them with your Spirit. Would you give them a new revelation of who you are? Your loving, compassionate Father heart. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, that your love for them would just fill their heart. Lord, that we can experience miracles and comfort and acceptance and just all the blessings that you have intended for us. Lord, that obedience would not be something that we just strive to and we're kind of hoping we're getting there. But Lord, I pray that we have a joyful desire to be obedient and seeking your will, because we know that within your will there is goodness, and that you have amazing plans for us, plans to prosper us in various different ways. Lord, you are God Almighty. And I pray and ask, would you use us? Would you use us in this town? Lord, we're praying for revival. We're seeking revival in the name of Jesus Christ. I just want to come and speak it again. That your presence would descend on this town and beyond. Lord, that there would be a bunch of people just praying and seeking you. Seeking your healing, seeking your salvation, seeking your relation, seeking fatherhood, seeking everything, Lord Jesus, from you, because they realize who you are. Lord, and I pray that each person here sitting would know the power of the Holy Spirit working through them. Lord, that every single person would have the boldness and the confidence to pray for people, to trust for miracles, to know that this is not of us, but it is of you. It is the Holy Spirit's power that's going to do this miracle. Lord, I pray that you would move us in compassion to pray for people. Pray that you would set up divine appointments, whether it's the long version or the short version. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that we have the opportunity and we recognize the opportunity. Holy Spirit, if we're not getting the nudges that you give us, I pray that you would give us a thump. Draw us in a direction. Lord Jesus, so that we can learn to know your word, learn to be able to react and be prepared to share the gospel, the good news of the relationship and the salvation that there is within Jesus Christ. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.